This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Wizards play Game 3 of their first round series with the Toronto Raptors tonight. They're down 2-0, coming back to D.C. 8 o'clock tip at Capital One Arena. John Wall has mostly been good over 2 games. You look at the points, the assists, but he's turned the ball over, and maybe there are some issues with ball movement as well that have kept Bradley Beal from getting going. Scott Brooks, after Game 2, said, "This is partially Brad's fault, it's partially my fault," and I believe his quote was, "It's partially," I think he said, "John's fault."
It's kind of everybody.
I don't think he used Wall and Beal like I prefer, but he's the coach and he's allowed to because he knows those guys.
He is actually friends with them or knows them very well. It's, and we said this, it's everybody. Everybody's is somewhat to blame here. Bradley and Beal, of course, needs some blame, and John Wall and everybody else. But to me, it starts with the fact they're playing such horrendous defense. There's no easy buckets. That's where Wall thrives the most, in transition and getting out in the open court, finding shooters like, I don't know, Bradley Beal. It's why Beal shot his worst three-point percentage of his career this year. It's why he, bearing more of the offensive load, had a tougher season doing more than he ever has, because you had such terrible inability to get him the ball in easy spots for him where his feet are set, shooter's pocket, rise and fire, and he's excellent at that. He's been great his whole career. Those aren't available, and it's especially not available when you give up damn near 80 points and a half. It's not.
We're at a point, Danny, where I think most people see this team and say something's not right. They can't possibly finish eighth in the East as talented as they are. They're too good. They shouldn't be down 2-0, having given up almost 50 points in a quarter in the playoffs. They're too talented. There's too much on this roster. What is wrong? And everyone's trying to figure that out. Brian Geltzeiler is an NBA analyst, founder of HoopsCritic.com. He hosts shows on Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's a contributor to NBA TV. I mean, this is not some guy who just does stuff from his own house and with his own company. You can see him on NBA TV. He's a respected voice in basketball. He's a regular on CDVTW on Chad's show. Chad loves having him on. He's opinionated, he's energetic, and I think that's probably why. But speaking of him being opinionated, I was driving home yesterday. Matter of fact, I was cutting across town going over to Bethesda, and I'm listening to Geltzeiler, and I sent a text to Dar, got to a stoplight in D.C., and said, "Dude just annihilated John Wall."
Yeah.
By the way, I don't agree with all of this, but I think it's interesting and worth talking about. We got to play this on the show. So we have this audio from CDVTW yesterday. Here's the first of a couple of takes we'll play. This is him talking about the Wizards.
So what you have is a guy that really isn't all that well-liked on his team, that's a self-proclaimed leader, when maybe the guys on the team want another guy to be the leader in Bradley Beal, and he's dragging down the team from an effort standpoint. Now listen, am I letting some of these other guys off the hook for not necessarily playing defense as hard as they should? I probably am. But you know what? John Wall's ahead of the snake. And so there's a lot of things here that Wall, from a leadership standpoint, has not done all that well with this team.
Play the beginning of that again. I mean, this is about as negative and this is as bad a comment as you can make about someone.
So what you have is a guy that really isn't all that well-liked on his team, that's a self-proclaimed leader, when maybe the guys on the team want another guy to be the leader in Bradley Beal, he's dragging down the team from an effort standpoint.
Right there. So You're questioning his effort. That's like the number one sin if you're a player, that someone's calling out your effort. Number two, you're saying his teammates don't like him. I mean, do we know that that's the case? Do we know that guys don't like him? We know that him and March and Gortat probably don't like each other that much.
Yeah, you got those stupid Instagram or Twitter feuds that get cleaned up, the subtweet stuff. I don't care about that.
But with Gortat or who? I mean, well, him and Gortat Beal have gone back and forth a little bit at times.
Yeah.
I think that kind of happens. But I've always thought it was kind of overblown that they don't like each other. But there's clearly some friction between him and some of his teammates. And then he's basically saying he's effortless defensively. By the way, there was more stuff that he said. Do me a favor and grab some of the stuff before that even, Dar, where he's talking about how bad he's been defensively.
And he's
how,
right.
Like, the rest of the team suffers because of that. He goes on to say, in terms of this offseason, he doesn't think it's a guaranteed lock that this thing is built around John Wall for the long haul.
And I'll tell you this, I've talked to some people around the league, and I know Wall's got a huge extension that's coming down the pike here. It would not surprise me one bit if we come around the draft time, we start to hear rumors of John Wall being shopped. Because wow. Keep one thing in mind, it's a huge extension. It's an enormous extension, Chad. But I'll tell you this, if Blake Griffin, with his health situation and his knees and that contract extension, got traded for a package, John Wall could get traded easily.
Isn't that crazy talk?
I think it is. And I love Brian Geltziler. He's one of my favorite hoops analysts. You put him, Chris Mannix, and a number of guys like that on a pedestal for me. I love Geltziler. Here's why it's ludicrous. He touched on it. That contract. Nobody's going to do that. No one is going to take a 27-year-old, multiple knee surgeries, by the way, multiple procedures, a guy that clearly is not the same when he's been hobbled. All it took was a knee collision in November, and he wasn't the same guy. That's going to be owed 37-8, 48, 43-8, and then $46-plus million over the next several seasons. Because right now, the modern league, you look around, and if you're a point guard that can't shoot, it's a different animal. There aren't that many point guard-starved teams right now. People are either drafting them or they're developed them on their own. The marketplace just won't be there. You could shop them all you want. Good luck with that. You're not getting anything near the return back. You can build a team around John Wall still. He needs to have a come-to-Jesus moment, though. I think Geltziler is 100% right about the defensive effort because we've seen it. We've seen times when Wall is locked in. It was under Randy Whitman. A few years ago, he was an on-ball
demon. But I wonder if that's health-related in any way.
This year, I thought it was, and I was giving him a pass. I'm going, the guy's clearly not right.
He's better defensively last year.
Yeah, he can't get down in a stance right now at this point. I mean, you look at their team defensive rating a few years ago under Randy Whitman per 100 possessions. They were one of the better teams in the league stopping people. That starts with on-the-ball pressure. That starts with what he was doing against screen and roll. He was a pain in the butt. No one liked playing against him. This year, after the knee injury, of course he can't help you. And you're much better with Tomas Satoransky, a 6'7 Jabberwocky, being a pain in the butt, challenging shooters out front. When Wall was hurt, that's why I said I'd give him a pass. If he's healthy and this is what we get, this is an issue. And maybe that if I'm in the Wizards locker room, that would bother me. This is our leader. This is the guy we're taking our cues from. He can't be bothered at this point to play defense?
That's my point is, yes, it's kind of like the Robert Griffin thing. Is he healthy to play in the week one? Of course. But he's not himself. He's not all the way back. He's not rehabbed and healed. He's not 100%. You can be healthy and not be 100%. And I think he's basically got X amount of bullets in the chamber right now in terms of energy and his rehab where he's at. And I think he's exerting and using as many of those on the offensive end as possible. My bigger issue is moving the basketball, which is something Geltziler talked about as well. Here was more from his conversation on Chad Dukes versus the world.
Well, you got a toxic mix. I mean, listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Chad, to look at what this team was doing and how unselfishly they played as a group in the absence of John Wall. And then Wall comes back and all the same problems exist all over again. And John Wall's a great example of why when you look at a guy's assist numbers, they don't always tell the story about the guy's willingness to share the basketball. Because the whole everybody eats theme that Beal had pushed forward when Satoransky was starting at point guard and Wall was out, had the ball moving around, and a lot of guys real happy. And when you're real happy, you're seeing the ball as much as you want and the ball's moving, you work harder on defense. The team approach on defense is much better when you feel like you're a part of things. Okay? Wall, this guy dominates the ball every possession, and he's for all the assists he gets, he didn't get a lot of hockey assists, which means he's not starting a ball movement sequence. He's trying to find that final pass. And so what you have is a guy that really isn't all that well-liked on his team that's a self-proclaimed leader when maybe the guys on the team want another guy to be the leader in Bradley Beal.
And that's how he got into the leadership thing.
Yep.
I think that context is important.
It is.
And I believe that the vast majority of the beginning of that cut is very true. And that is that I think they're best served when the ball is moving quicker. You see this in other places. Now, Golden State with Steph Curry shooting as much as he does, I think of them and I think ball movement, I think passing. But he's going to take his shots. He's going to hit his threes. Wall is not that type of shooter, so it's very different. I think Geltziler makes a lot of good points. What I can't give you a strong opinion on, because I just don't have enough information. I have not been in that locker room one time all year.
Me either.
I haven't been in that locker room probably other than one time in the last 2 years. I cannot pretend to know how well-liked John Wall is. I just can't. So I don't even want to necessarily say that I disagree with him on that, but my guess is that he and his teammates have a decent enough relationship. But he's questioning leadership. Set that aside. He's questioning whether or not you can win with this guy's effort on defense. I would tell you that I think part of the problem on defense is his quote-unquote not being 100%. The one part of this I think is 100% correct is on the offensive end. We saw this everybody eats thing when Beal was a little bit happier. Gortat was a lot happier. You saw the progression of Markieff Morris. Otto Porter suddenly turned it on and had some of his best stretches. John Wall, I love the idea of this hockey assist he brought up.
Yeah.
He's going to make the outstanding pass to get you a shot. But how often is he making the pass before the pass to get you a bucket?
It's a great point.
I think that that's a really smart take, and it's really good analysis.
It's
I want to get
it,
people's
yeah.
thoughts on this next and get more from you, Danny, on what you think of what Geltzeiler said. 800-636-1067 is the number. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines available for you. 800-636-1067. In general, I think the way I would describe this black and white, John Wall's getting killed here, mostly unfairly. However, I think there's a lot of merit to some of these points. And just to dismiss it all.
There's some meat on the bone here.
Absolutely. You got to pull the meat off and figure out what we think of that. And you could tell me this is overblown, and I think that's fair. But there are some real points that need to be discussed here. Brent and Danny on The Fan.
Brent and Danny here on The Fan. Tariq El-Bashir, 12 minutes away, will join us talking some Caps ahead of game number 5 back at the Capital One Arena. Right now, Brian Geltzeiler was on CDBTW yesterday at Hoops Critic, one of my favorite Hoops follows on the Twitterverse. Pretty harsh commentary. Pretty aggressive, GP, is what I would say. A lot of it is, you know, I would say a national perspective, kind of, I don't want to say over the top, but a lot of it is innuendo, kind of based on this and that. He sort of built a pyramid here where he was pretty hard on John Wall. Tommy, go ahead and run that for us for folks that are just tuning in.
Well, you got a toxic mix. I mean, listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist, Chad, to look at what this team was doing and how unselfishly they played as a group in the absence of John Wall. And then Wall comes back, and all the same problems exist all over again. And John Wall's a great example of why when you look at a guy's assist numbers, they don't always tell the story about the guy's willingness to share the basketball. Because the whole everybody eats theme that Beal had pushed forward when Satoransky was starting at point guard and Wall was out, had the ball moving around, and a lot of guys real happy. And when you're real happy, just seeing the ball as much as you want and the ball's moving, you work harder on defense. The team approach on defense is much better when you feel like you're a part of things. Okay? And Wall, this guy dominates the ball every possession, and he's for all the assists he gets. He didn't get a lot of hockey assists, which means he's not starting a ball movement sequence. He's trying to find that final pass. And so what you have is a guy that really isn't all that well-liked on his team that's a self-proclaimed leader when maybe the guys on the team want another guy to be the leader in Bradley Beal.
You're questioning effort. You're questioning whether or not he's liked. This is one of the biggest stars in town. The team is built around him. We know that something is wrong. And what I'll agree with Geltzeiler on is when he says something is spoiled from the outside in here. You can tell. You know, it's like back in the day when like something smells really bad. We know something's going on. You're getting sick.
Something rotten somewhere in the walls, yeah.
He also said he thinks there's a chance he could be shopped this offseason. And a lot of people will dismiss this because of the money. I think that if we get far enough to say, well, yeah, you could trade him, but it's hard for anyone to take on that contract. I think we're blowing past a really important stop sign here, which is the Wizards should consider trading John Wall. Are you kidding me? Here's what he said.
And I'll tell you this. I've talked to some people around the league, and I know Wall's got a huge extension that's coming down the pike here. It would not surprise me one bit if we come around the draft time, we start to hear rumors of John Wall being shopped. Because wow. Keep one thing in mind. It's a huge extension. It's an enormous extension, Chad. But I'll tell you this. If Blake Griffin, with his health situation and his knees and that contract extension, got traded for a package, John Wall could get traded easily.
That's Geltzeiler was on Chad Dukes versus the World yesterday, and you can find that audio on thefandc.com and on cdvtw.com in its entirety. Tom's in Manassas. What do you make of this commentary?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Hey, yeah, I mean, I know it's a little outlandish, But dude, I agree with a lot of it. John Wall's in the business of John Wall. You know, the insight I got out of it is when he was mad about not making the All-Star team, that was about him. When he was gone this year, that everybody seemed happier. They seemed like they were having fun out there. So the ball movement's not there, like you mentioned, Golden State. They move that ball around. We don't see that here. So I'm not a big fan of shoot first point guards. I'll back off my hot take if he's not a good point guard, but I'm just not a fan of his style. I love him. He's electrifying. I love his off the court stuff, but there is something wrong here. So I'd be all right if they blew it up.
Thanks, Tom. Chris in Lanham, go ahead. Chris, you're on the radio.
Chris, that's
throw you back on hold. Let's go to Cody, who is in Virginia. Cody, you're on Grant and Danny.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. First time caller.
Hey, bud.
No, I agree with everything he said. I was listening in yesterday when he called in, and you know, Wall, when he was out, they were playing great. Ballman was great. Everyone was contributing as a whole. When he comes back in, you see a lot of lackluster. You see a lot of less effort on the defensive end as well as offensively. I mean, you see when he attacks the rim, he used to be able to take contact, make a layup, and get the foul and go to the line. Now you see him doing that. He's not able to finish. Yes, you could talk about the injury, but also is the effort there? Is the want there? You know, you see the sideline chirping with Drake and these other players, and that's all good and that's all fair, and I like to see that, but I like to see more on the court instead of less chirping off the court.
Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville on the Fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Listen, a couple months ago when everybody was grilling Gortat and saying he was being selfish and everything, it's quite possible he was onto something. And if you remember, not a lot of his teammates came to defend John Wall during that period. I think John Wall is sort of in the same vein as a Carmelo or an Allen Iverson, where he doesn't feel like he's contributing unless he's filling up the stat sheet.
I think that's a great point, Chris. Yeah, it's a great point.
In other words, would he rather win and be, you know, 4 points, 9 assists, or lose and be 28-13? I would say he'd rather win.
He'd rather win.
But his point is that he wants to be the biggest reason why they win.
And it's part of the star treatment that he gets. Think about end of quarters. We've been bitching about this for years. It's John Wall dribbling out the basketball. If the Wizards have it, he gets the last shot of the quarter. He's been terrible at it. But it's just what you do. It's just pro forma. You have to have your, quote, best player with the ball in his hands at the end of the quarter. They're not better served that way.
Probably not been as bad as Bradley Beal at it.
Well, neither one of them's any good. Run your damn offense. You know who's good at it? Kevin Durant. You know who's good at it? LeBron James. You know who ain't good? Either of the two guys here in Washington. You forget about Otto Porter. You do it in crunch time all the time. It's why their numbers stink. You look at the usage rates. That's the better indicator. It's kind of what Brian Geltzeiler's talking about here, meaning you end the possession with a result. Either you shoot it, you pass it, you turn it over, you do something. The leaders in basketball, where John Wall is one, are all much better scorers than he is. At least this given year they were. And it tells you that what Geltzeiler's talking about is Wall believes he is their best creator. And he is, by the way. He is their best creator. He's the one of the best in the league at it. But you're also limiting that free movement and some of the things that go on with these modern offenses.
Chris, in Lanham, you hear Brian Geltzeiler saying the Wizards may consider trading Wall, saying that his teammates don't like him, that he doesn't exert enough effort. As a Wizards fan, as a Wall fan, do you take offense or do you think he's on to something?
I thank you. First of all, I love you guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Sorry about earlier. Listen to you guys all the time.
Oh, no problem.
I wish Danny would unblock me on Twitter because I was telling you guys this about John Wall years ago. John Wall comes out there, and he's a great talent. He's a great talent, but unfortunately, his athleticism is only going to carry him so far. And I hate to bring up, you know, guys like Colin Coward and hot takes of stuff he says, but you can't have a ball-dominant guy be your superstar and he can't shoot the basketball. What happens is John Wall takes it upon himself in crunch time and in times where we need a really big bucket. Why is John Wall shooting 10 three-pointers? He can't shoot threes. He did that against Oklahoma City earlier in the year when we lost. You know, if he just watches Andre Miller in the playoffs when Andre Miller was with us against the Bulls, where he came out, Andre Miller doesn't have a jump shot. Shoot, watch Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, I just wish John Wall would come out and just be – he can be a double-double guy, maybe like a Rondo, you know, get you 15 assists, you know, 12 to 15 assists, maybe 10 to 15 points.
I think that would be the sweet spot. Defender. They'd be so much better off. Hey, Chris, why did Danny block you on Twitter?
Well, Danny blocked me on Twitter because he thought I was hating on John Wall and because he didn't like how I typed. I was typing with the, you know, with the caps and, you know, down, you know, it was kind of crazy. But I stopped
doing
that.
I can do people not liking John Wall. Crazy.
What's your Twitter handle? You should look up some, see what you think. What's your Twitter handle?
Let me look it up.
I Chris Indo. ICHRISINDO.
Okay.
I'll tweet you. I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Okay, I appreciate you. Maybe give him another chance.
Oh, look it up. Yeah, no problem. I'm not going to charge you for it. Here's what I'll say real quick, Dan.
That's a zing.
Thank you. Here's what I'll do. Just
that's a
funny the last
thing.
Who's been a larger apologist for John Wall in this marketplace than me? Would you say anybody?
You blocked the guy because he said something negative.
Well, I don't know if that's exactly what happened. We'll investigate during the break. But I'll tell you this: I still love John Wall, and John Wall can absolutely be the best player on a really good team. Okay. Now, part of this is roster construction. Part of this is you don't have enough space for him to do it. You need four shooters around him. They've done the opposite of that, okay? That's an issue. So this is a Grunfeld problem as well. This is a organizational cultural problem, I think, more so than it is a John Wall issue because things have been allowed to fester. This shouldn't be people need to step in. Adults have needed to step in for years to quell some of this crap, and it hasn't happened. So, no, John Wall's not getting traded. No, the Wizards weren't necessarily this magical panacea without them. They still found a way to lose to Atlanta in garbage fashion. They lost to a bunch of teams where this everybody eats thing all of a sudden didn't work out, and they played like crap on defense. They lost to the Mavericks and a bunch of other teams. So we can go through this thing and indict John Wall. I will say this. It's worth criticism because he's the star, and this is the only sport where you can do kind of wins and losses and that kind of stuff because the influence one guy can have on the game. He deserves criticism. So do the other guys. This organization is at fault as well. They need to do a better job heading into the next season of quelling this crap.
Dar just found the guy's tweets that got him blocked. So you think Wall is better, more important to our team than Beal? Don't have to know anything about basketball to see that ain't it. Y'all don't think Wall is better than Kyrie? Come on, guys. Don't be homers. Y'all would hate on LeBron winning. Well, get used to rooting against him in the NBA Finals because he's going to be there every year. Why don't we draft Sam Decker? Why do we suck at drafting? Those are the four tweets he sent you. Now, he's doing a weird bit where he's got a bunch of random capital letters. And I remember you showing me this and going, why is this guy doing this? So maybe you were annoyed by the way he typed in addition to him constantly
talking.
But
that's him? That's the same guy?
That's him.
That doesn't look like it. That's not the Twitter handle he just said.
I'd block him, too.
He seemed very nice on the phone.
Dar searched him by the Twitter handle he gave him.
He seemed very nice on the telephone.
Are you
going to
give him another chance?
Don't.
We'll see what happens.
I say give him a chance. He's a P1. He's a nice guy. All he ever did was talk to you about the Wizards. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, Tarik El-Bashir, who covers the Capitals. They're even 2-2 in their series. Coming back to D.C. with Columbus.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming now is Wilson. Right side into the circle. A shot blocked and run down by Cole. Coming away, the shot. They score! Wilson gets it out to Ovechkin. It's a 5-on-5 goal for Alex Ovechkin with 17:11 to go. It's 3-0 Washington.
It's raining tacos.
Tarik El-Bashir on Brant and Danny. Here on 106.7 The Fan, it is raining tacos, and that means taco. Tarik El-Bashir joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Tarik, how do you like your new theme song?
I like it, but I've heard it before, guys. You're a little behind the times. Your boy WrestleMania dropped this on me like 2 years ago.
You're kidding me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's probably the meanest thing anyone could have said to us.
That is devastating.
But you know what? But you know what? Guys, I like having my own theme song. And if you guys, you know, give Chris a call, I'm sure he'll give you permission to use it. And let's make it a thing. I like it.
Let's do it. Tarik El-Bashir was in Columbus. I did a funny little piece on all of the things you didn't know about Columbus, including that's the home of White Castle, by the way.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Dang. Very cool. So you went and ate some White Castle, you, Harold, and Kumar, which was neat. What'd you say? Go ahead.
I had about a dozen sliders.
Yeah, you did. As well you should have. Let's start, though, where we started on TV last night when you jumped on Caps Overtime with me, and that is that Tom Wilson series completely swung around here on the road. Zero shots, no points, two penalties that led to goals in the first two games, 13 shots and two goals to take leads in games three and four. What a difference for him.
Absolutely. We asked Coach Barry Trotz about it last night, and he said what he sees is a young man that might have been a little overcharged, a little too emotional, a little too hyped those first couple of games, and kind of got away from what had made him so successful during the regular season, what had allowed him to have a career year offensively, you know, playing on that top line most of the season with Alex Ovechkin on the other side. And he seems to just have settled in and dialed it back and was able to kind of hit the reset button sometime before game three. And he's been outstanding ever since. As you said, you know, two goals, an assist, 13 shots on net, some really big hits. Still taking a couple of minor penalties, but that shouldn't surprise anyone. He led the league in minor penalties this year in 78 games. He's a guy who's just he's an impact player. He's all over the place. Sometimes he takes penalties. Fortunately, the ones in games three and four weren't as costly as the ones in games one and two. But I really, really like what Tom Wilson is doing right now. And, you know, we said at the outset of the series, Grant, that he kind of has the X factor intangibles, if you will, that kind of translate to this time of year. You know, one of those goals was a tip-in. You know, he can play that grinded-out style in the corners and retrieve pucks for the higher skill guys on his line. But he's got a little finish now, too. So the Caps are going to need him to continue playing like this if they want to get to where they're aiming to get to.
Tarik, what surprised you about yesterday? I mean, I know not going to overtime, which is now industry standard apparently for the Capitals in the first round, but what surprised you about how yesterday's game went? Would it be a person, place, thing, or idea? Give me something.
You know, I would say just how detailed they were from start to finish, because one of the things that I think most Caps fans and observers would agree is just how maddeningly inconsistent this group has been from start to finish this season in the regular year. They just, some nights they would put together 40 minutes, some nights they would put together 55 minutes and hang on and win, and some nights they just weren't all that good at all. And it was just very hard to get a feel for what kind of Caps team you were going to see that night. And you know, I think you could make the case that game four was their most complete effort maybe of the season, or, you know, at least throw it in there with the five best performances. And I'm talking about everywhere. In the offensive zone, they were on the puck. They were, creating traffic. They were putting shots on Sergei Bobrovsky. They were dangerous. Their high skill forwards were putting a lot of pressure on the Blue Jackets, you know, the neutral zone and defensive zone, they were airtight. I mean, the Blue Jackets didn't get a whole lot of opportunity to move through the neutral zone with a lot of speed. Once they got into the Caps' end, there was a lot of one and duns. The Capitals did a great job on their breakouts. They were just detailed, and they just looked like a team that maybe is going to get somewhere this postseason if they continue to play that way.
Tarik El-Bashir on Grant and Danny here on the Fan, NBC Sports Washington's Caps Insider. Alex Ovechkin, as you know, you've covered him since day one, is much maligned in the postseason, probably unfairly. Here are the numbers when his team is trailing in a series in 32 games. 43 points, 19 goals, 24 assists. He basically guaranteed the Caps were coming back to D.C. 2-2 in this series, and he followed through on it, didn't he?
You know, the best thing about that guarantee, and I'm using air quotes, I know you guys can't see it on radio, is he just so casually just dropped it in a random morning skate conversation with reporters. You know, it wasn't like he was like, all right, listen up, everyone. We're going to, you know, it wasn't like some rah-rah, here's what we're going to do. It was just kind of casual, but he was very confident when he said it. I think he meant it. Just said, yeah, you know what, it's going to be a lot of fun when we go back to game to D.C. for game five after getting a couple of wins here in Columbus. And you're right. I mean, he's a clutch player. You're right. He's also unfairly maligned for not being a playoff performer. His numbers suggest otherwise. And I didn't think he was having his best game last night. I thought he was good, not his best game. But then he scored the clutch goal to give them their third goal. And you know, he didn't have a whole lot of space. He had a Blue Jacket drake all over him, and he had just enough. And he doesn't need a lot of space to get off that wicked shot, and went right past Bobrovsky. It was great. He had another chance on a breakaway. There were some moments where I was like, ooh, Alex, keep your feet moving. Let's get a little going here. But you know what? At the end of the day, a goal, an assist, and a guarantee that he was able to make sure happened. Not a bad night for number 8.
You are the cheesy gordita crunch of guests, Tark. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time, man.
Anytime, guys.
See you, buddy.
Good having you on the show. There's Tark El-Bashir. Check him out on NBC Sports Washington as the Caps postseason continues. It's Friday, and 11:45 is next, which means we got a chance to win off the field.
Let's do it together. I got a great one.
You call us at 800-636-1067. You tell us, like Danny's about to, what little tiny thing has gone right in your day. We will honor and celebrate the great, the trustworthy Bruce Allen. As USA Today found out, he's the most, hope I'm being told, he's the least trusted executive, according to NFL agents. But he does win off the field, so we'll do that with you next. We'll go blitzing at noon. At 12:45 today, Dane Brugler on the NFL draft, which is only 6 days away. You're listening to The Fan. And
welcome
then what?
To the greatest state in America.
Here's a match.
Commonwealth of Virginia.
Time to figure out how you're winning off the field. Here's what you do. You call us. 800-636-1067. You say, hey.
Hey, Bob.
What's up, Robert? I remember when Goose at a press conference once said, yeah, we don't win a whole lot off on the field, but off the field's a different story.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Here's how it's done. Here's how I'm winning off the field. These are teeny tiny mini moral victories. These are little things that happen in your day that you enjoy that don't matter a whole lot to anyone else or that frankly don't change your life a whole lot. Here's an example. I just took a picture and I posted it on Twitter with Nick Ashew.
Mm.
Me and Nick Ashew at work is the caption.
Uh-huh.
You can go check out the picture right now. It's available for you.
He's a fun guy.
I've got an unkempt playoff beard. I look like a big, fat, ugly hair thing next to the best-looking guy that I've ever seen, Nick Ashew. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Just wait until you're bald. I can't wait.
Oh, those two Cleveland Browns picks in the top four.
Not going to happen.
Beard and no hair, Paulson would be awesome.
I'm not going to give a lot of detail on this, but I got a little nervous yesterday.
You got a guy.
So I sent a text message to someone that I have some familiarity with in the Cleveland Browns organization. And I said, hey, am I going to keep my hair or not? And they made it sound like I might be able to keep my hair.
I just love the idea that we got it to that point. That
He's
to me
a
is
fun
a win.
Guy.
Thank you very much, Kirk.
By the way, not an exaggeration. Oh my gosh, do I look terrible in this picture? It's the worst
picture.
You're
standing next to Nick Ashew.
That's my point. Like for some, my teeth, first of all, look like I'm like from the 1920s. Like they look like the black outline, and they, for some reason, the picture they look terrible. Nick's look big and white and delicious. And then my hat, I'm about to delete this.
What does that
picture.
Mean?
It's that bad. My hat is terrible. My beard, because it's a playoff beard, it's like a neck beard.
You got the neck, yeah.
This is the worst picture I've ever seen.
It's an unflattering picture.
It's over.
Is it unflattering because I'm next to Nick? Like, if you just block Nick, I think it's still, why would I ever post that picture?
Yeah, but you can't do the thing that Drab did, where he made such a big fuss about it, like however long ago that was, and like demanded people take it down when somebody zoomed in that it wasn't a great picture of him. We're slovenly radio dudes. It's fine.
This probably says something about my mental psyche and like my something very important about my life. I look
just
at that
the way
picture.
I, just felt.
I see this picture. I look at it. And I understand why so many people on Twitter hate me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like the first response I had when I looked at that picture was all of the awful things that people say to me on Twitter. I get it now.
Oh, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough to see that.
That I look at that picture and I go, I would hate me too.
I get why they don't care
like,
for me.
Like, seriously? You should tell me that I'm useless. You should tell me that I'm a big fat nothing.
Jeez, dude.
You should tell me that you hate this radio show and that I've never said anything interesting.
Is that your metaphorical someone comes on stage to ask you to make an announcement moment? Was that you just got humbled moment? Is that what happened?
Probably. This is the worst picture I've ever seen.
I don't think it's that bad.
And what's funny is I actually feel great about my appearance right now.
Yeah.
I think I look better right now than I've looked in years and years.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm unkempt in this picture. I look awful. I woke up later today than I've woken up for this show at any point in the history of our show. And I'm going on no sleep this week. There's a lot of excuses being given. I look terrible in this picture. But I get it. Like last night, some guy tweeted basically like, I hate you. I hate your voice. I hate everything about you.
This is all mouth.
I can't believe I have to see you on TV now and listen to you on the radio. I wish you would go away
forever. You don't have to, sir or madam.
And weirdly, I muted that guy immediately.
Yeah.
But I get it now. It's completely.
He's
actually right.
This took a turn.
I'm wrong.
This took a turn. I had a fun.
I flipped you.
Well, you may have, ma'am. I had a fun little thing that was exciting for me.
You know
but
what?
Now we got to do something else.
I'm being selfish here.
You're not at all. But
no.
This is a major. I don't want to gloss over this. This is a major deal that just happened. You posted a picture of yourself next to Nick Ashew, and you're having a crisis of confidence.
I'm serious.
That's what's happening.
You think I'm doing a bit? By the way,
I don't think that. I can see it in your face.
The first thing I thought about when I saw this picture is all the people who hate me are going to really like this picture.
Cow turd.
And they should. It's terrible.
Phyllis.
Cow turd.
Don't pile on Grant.
I agree with you, Phyllis.
Turd.
By the way, Nick Ashew, holy crap, does he look great in this picture.
So I've got
a
former coworker and friend who actually knows Nick Ashew.
Yeah.
And she actually said the words, her husband was there and we were all kind of talking. And she was like, do you know Nick Ashew? And I was like, yeah, I know Nick Ashew. I started to go into how devastatingly handsome he was and how chiseled he is and how his clothes fit a certain way that's so nice. And he's got these cool shoes that he wears.
You know, the DC Strangler.
And the low socks and his calves look good. And he's just around. He's very smiley. And she stopped me and she was like, he's too good looking.
I agree.
She said that as a complaint. In other words, meaning he's not even my type because he's so... It's dumb how handsome he is.
I told you the story.
Pretty.
There's a lot of young sales or I don't even know if they're in sales, all of them, but they're the sales side of the building girls that work in this company. And we'll occasionally interact with some of them. And most of them don't give us the time of day. And that's fine. You don't need to.
Like if they found out you got struck by lightning, they wouldn't blink.
They'd be like, who's the new guy on the show? Which show is that? Is that the Junkies?
The Sports Junks.
So it's Chad and.
And.
Where's LeVar? What happened to Mike? They wouldn't have known Mike West. What happened to, where's, who would they say? Holden? I don't even know.
They wouldn't even know him. They might ask about him.
Anyways, one of those girls came up to me in the cafeteria.
Uh-huh.
Hadn't
Today?
Talked to her in a long time. No, this was a long time ago. This was right after Nick started working here. And she goes, I just have a question. I don't want to be judged. I'm like, whatever.
That's fine.
She goes, who is the new guy that works on 106.7 The Fan? I'm like, who do you mean? And she's like, he's really in shape. I'm like, Craig Hoffman? She's like, no, not Craig.
No.
She's so dismissive about Craig, by the way.
No.
And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, he's he's not white. I'm like, Nick Ashew.
Nick Ashew.
He sucked.
She's like, he is so good looking.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, he is.
You're right.
Actually.
We do show segments about it.
I've talked about
You should
about
listen
it
to our show sometime.
Yeah. He's freaking unbelievable looking.
Can I do mine real quick?
Yeah, just do it.
All right, here's how I'm winning off the field. I was actually wearing this jacket on Wednesday. I've been saving it. Been saving it for this moment, okay? I've got a Nationals pullover jacket. No, thank you. It's a cardigan, but thank you for noticing. I've got a pullover on. It's got one of those tube pockets that goes all the way through. You'd put both hands in there, and you could touch your hands. That makes sense? Like a pant pocket is one way, right? Everybody follows me? This pocket right around my paunch fat, okay? I had my keys in there. Had my keys in this middle pocket. I was conducting business from my usual meeting right after the show in the lavatory, and just some sort of weird angle, I don't know how it happened, I don't know how we got here, but I bend over slightly, as you do, to dismiss the cargo that was in. I'm trying to tell you, Dr. Phil, you dismiss what I have left inside the latrine. Yes? I'm going to flush the potty. At that moment,
you
my keys. No. My keys come flying out of this center pocket.
Mm.
They're here. They're on the way into the toilet. The most athletic thing I have done since probably 2004 was my right hand instinctively stops flushing the toilet, and I snatched the top of the keys right out from going into the potty. I caught
Danny Rauer.
Danny Rauer made a play. This little key ring thing that I've got right here, you can't see it, but it's a little St. Albans keychain. I catch that right before my keys went into the crapper.
Surprise.
Did you throw your back out when you did it?
Almost. Almost. And I, weirdly, inside the stall, still by myself, the other people in the bathroom, celebrated. Less good, but it still happened. Because my keys did not go in the toilet water, I am.
Winning off the field.
Tweet of the day from Malcolm. Malcolm says, I just saw that picture, and it's the first time I've seen Nick Ashew. My God. That's a great tweet. You're right, by the way. He'll join us next on The Blitz. He's got a good voice as well. Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Folks, Danny Ruyer here. I got my keys. That's right. They're not underwater. They're not wet. I've got my keys to my Ted Britt Ford. I love Ted Britt Ford.
And
you guys.
Being a full-blood Indian with my family behind me.
Chief Dotson. Chief Dotson signing on a Ted Britt Ford read, Tommy. Did not We're have honored. That in the office pool. Unlike Chief Dotson, I am genuinely a real human being,
We're
and
honored.
I love Ted Britt Ford.
Quite honored.
You should be, sir. Good heavens. Wow, I wasn't expecting that. Threw me off.
And being a full-blood Indian.
Chief Dotson, please, everyone knows you're full of it. Ford Fusion, $150 a month, that's your lease deal. 2018 Ford Fusion. 2018 Ford Escape for just $199 a month on a lease deal. How about a new 2018 Ford F-150, only $235 per month? Ford makes the cars. Ted Britt makes the difference. You can get a car a lot of places, but you can't get the customer care, customer service, and a lifetime of good, really feelings that Ted Britt provides.
We're honored.
You should be. They want to take care of you, right? 120% Kelley Blue Book value. That's the first thing they'll give you when you walk through the door with your trade-in. The next thing they do is get you a great car. The final thing that they do is give you Ted Britt for life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, they give it to you. That is powertrain. That's the big stuff. Little things like they'll fix your windshield if it cracks or chips. You got to go see them. And when you go to Fairfax or Chantilly, you got to tell them. Danny said.
And being a full-blood Indian with my family behind me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.